Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. My name is Ron Mitchell. I'm from the Ashland Church, and thank you for inviting me over this morning for the third part of the Three Angels message. It's been 5.5 months of the message from the first to today. A little bit of a spread. First thing I want to say is I was very inspired this morning by a wonderful lady I met by the name of Terry. A wonderful person that could stand up, and I'm going to say it this morning as well. I am a sinner, and I need Jesus. It is amazing what the Lord has done in our lives, and what he does for us every day. Gives us the rain. The water, our plants and our fruits, our vegetables, and gives us so much to look forward to in the kingdom of heaven, doesn't it? If you could turn with me this morning to Revelation 14, beginning with verse 6. Revelation 14, verse 6. The first angel's message that I preached on back in May was the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs says, gives us wisdom and understanding. In August, I preached on the second angel's message, the love of truth. Babylon's deceptions, and Babylon's deceptions is all around us, isn't it? There was a commercial a while back on TV that started with a bunch of mechanical stuffed bunnies. You recall that commercial, don't you? And they were all running around in circles and going everywhere. But slowly but surely, one by one, they all came to a grinding halt. Until one sole survivor, one lonely bunny, you can see marching off into the sunset. Now, as the camera panned around, you noticed on the back of that bunny, the plate was missing, exposing the brand of battery. Conspicuous, you might say. And the point was very simple. Why everything might look the same on the outside, the secret to long running was the success depending on the power source inside, didn't it? It's a good point to keep in mind as a Christian today, isn't it? One might not see the connection at first of that old commercial, but it illustrates the heart of the third angel's message. Beginning with verse 9 of Revelation 14, it says, "And the third angel followed them, saying," and I'm reading from the King James Version, "with a loud voice, if any man worships the beast and his image and receives his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation." I mean, that's a terrifying thought. God's unmingled mercy with mercy poured out on those who receive this mysterious mark, the mystery mark. You might say, well, what does that have to do with batteries? To begin with, one should note that the third angel's message is really a call to a choice. A choice between the mark of the beast and really the seal of God. The seal. Every one of us will choose one or the other someday, and maybe even by force. The only way to avoid the mark of the beast is to receive the seal of God. Put it this way, failure to get the seal, and you will end up with the mark. There's no in between. Joshua echoes it in his book from our scripture reading this morning. Choose you this day, today, who you will serve. My church family, there is no in between. The seal of God is connected with God's law. Period. And it's not limited to one particular part of the law. No. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, James says he's guilty of them all. You'll find that in James chapter 2, verse 10. Brothers and sisters, no thief, no adulterer can have the seal of God with regardless how conscientious they may be in keeping the Sabbath or abstaining from idolatry. No matter how many times you show up on prayer meeting, it don't count. All the precepts in God's law, brothers and sisters, are interconnected. They're like a spider's web. And brothers and sisters, we need them stamped today in our hearts. Of course, that was God's plan all along. Let us turn, if we could, this morning to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter and the 33rd verse. God had a plan from way back. Jeremiah 31, verse 33, again from the King James Version. But this shall be, what does it say there? This shall be a covenant or a promise that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my what? That's right, the law. In their inward parts and write them in their hearts. You see, the seal of God, simply put, is this word right here. So stamped so firmly into the hearts and minds that it transforms the character and it controls our life. I like to have Jesus control in my life, don't you? You might say it imprints us for eternity. A wonderful lady 100 years ago wrote this in Helpful Living, page 300, Mrs. White. She says the office of the Holy Spirit, the office, I guess you might say that's the job. The job of the Holy Spirit is to take the truth from the sacred pages, from where God has placed it, and stamp that truth upon our minds. 1 Peter tells us and says that we are born again. We're born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Peter goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, the very last part, and this is beautiful. Through God's promises, we can become partakers. We can join together. We can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hey, talk about the power of these scriptures. There's power. But like, you might say a seed, like any seed though, it must be planted. It must have time to root down and grow if it's to accomplish this work. James says we must receive the meekness of the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. The engrafted word. Grafting takes time, though. God's word must be thoroughly entwined into who and what we are. Hey, you can't say any different. That's true righteousness by faith. True righteousness by faith. You know, it's simply laying hold. Laying hold by faith on the power of the internalized word. And it produces real righteousness. You know, after all, faith that's not directly rooted in this Bible, it's not faith at all, is it? It's presumption. The scriptures, my church family, that is the power source. That's the only battery we'll ever need. We have a part in this, though. Our part is to hide God's word, his word, into our hearts. God's part is to stamp that into our characters. That's good news. We have a loving God that wants to stamp it into our character. Brothers and sisters, the real choice. The real choice between the mark and the seal is quite simple. Of the three angels' message. It's not some hypothetical discussion of how we'll respond to some future time of trouble. But rather how we are responding to the various trials and the perplexities that we face right now. What are we conforming to? What are we conforming to day by day? That's the question. How are we living our lives? The Word of God or the world? Only two ways. It is the little choices that we make daily that determine our destiny. What destiny that we want to choose? Take note here. Mrs. White also said on page 280 from the book, and it's a beautiful book, I suggest you read this one, The Faith I Live By. She says, those who are uniting with the world are receiving the worldly mold and preparing for the mark of the beast. Those who are distrustful of self, who are humbling themselves before God and purifying their souls by obeying the truth, these are receiving the heavenly mold and preparing the seal of God in their foreheads. That's straightforward, but it's truth. What we usually think of as the mark or a seal is just the final stamp. The final stamp revealing a lifelong pattern of decisions that we make every day. That's all it is. Your choice, what you choose every day in your life, is preparing you for one seal or the other. The time is not far in the distance when the test will come to every one of us. A test. A difficult test. In light of the solemn faction, we'd be more serious, be serious about bringing every area of our lives into harmony with this word. We should think about our marriages, our parenting, our employment, our relationships to each other, our relationships to our neighbors, our co-workers, and maybe ones that we don't really care for. But think about that relationships. Think about how our entertainment is, what we think about, how we spend our time, and most importantly, our lifestyle. How do we reflect Jesus' character to others? Friends, we must not underestimate the power of the gospel that is going out to this world right now. It's just about finished. The world as we know it, it's just about over. According to Peter, it offers all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know, for years I assumed the three angels' messages were addressed primarily to those unfamiliar with the great prophetic truths that we've all loved and cherished. For 160 years, we have been proclaiming them as the primary focus to others. We pointed out that the hour of his judgment has begun. First angel's message. Babylon's deceptions are everywhere. The second angel's message. And don't get the mark of the beast. Preaching these messages in such a way has led thousands into a closer walk with Jesus. Thousands upon thousands have came to enjoy the love that Jesus has gave to us all. And we must continue to proclaim these Bible-based warnings to the world, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. There is more. There is more. There is a message in, there's messages in these verses for us, each one of us. It is exactly what we need at this critical moment in Earth's history to strengthen us for what lies just ahead. I can't say it strongly enough, my brothers and sisters. We've been looking forward into a time of the future that Jesus is going to be returning, but I'm telling you, it's sooner than you think. You can't turn on the TV, you can't reopen up a paper, any magazine, anything, and say that it's not very far away. Things are coming to us by force. The healthcare program has a lot of force behind it, doesn't it? Think about all the other things that are coming to us by force. These messages not only warn a world, but they also prepare a people. That is what the three angels' message is about, preparing a people. They call us as God's children into such an experience in the fear of the Lord that sin's power is totally void in our lives. Into such a love for truth that the deceptions of the enemy, they lose their hold into our lives. Over the last five and a half weeks, we've covered three power-packed messages, each containing vital principles. My prayer this morning is that they've revitalized, they've readied each one of us for Jesus' return. The devil's pulling out all the stops, my brothers and sisters. He knows his time is short. But you know, there is another powerful, very powerful force loose on this planet that's doing its part to hurl us towards the end of the world. There's one other thing. It's pushing us towards an impact at the end of time. It is so powerful, more powerful than anyone realizes. It has a supernatural power source. And what's that force? It's not some new age movement or some conspiracy. It's not an underground Satanism, psychic phenomena, or astrology. It's none of those things. None of these dark forces are capable of propelling us to the end of time. Or the time of the end, I should say. The force I'm talking about is simply this. It's the gospel. That's the force. The true, unadulterated gospel. It is our duty, it is our job every day to talk to your friends, your neighbors, anybody that comes in contact with your eyes and your voice is to give the gospel that Jesus is coming soon. The most powerful force at work on our planet today. But Jesus gives us a promise. He gives us a promise. It is echoed at the beginning of the message of the three angels. The eternal gospel will be preached to those who live on the entire earth. To every nation, tribe, language, people, everyone. And this prophecy, brothers and sisters, is being fulfilled today as we speak. This is no common time that we live in. This is no ordinary time. This is a time to open our hearts to Jesus. This is the time to surrender our lives to Him. This is a time to prepare for His return. It's soon. He'll be here very soon. In closing this morning, the three angels' messages are an urgent call back to the Bible. It's an urgent call to dig into this message, to internalize it into your hearts, to hiding God's word deeply. Driven by a passionate love for truth and to living by the Bible laid up in our hearts and blessed by the Holy Spirit. A genuine righteousness by faith. Simply put, to face the final crisis that each one of us are going to go through. To face these last moments of world's history, you could simply say we must be saturated throughout our bodies with this word. Because there's nothing less will do. And that's the end of the story. Amen. Have a wonderful Sabbath. Our closing song should be page 577, In the Heart of Jesus.